Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome back to the Modern Yogi Podcast. We are on episode number
136.
Nice. Excellent.
So nailed it.
We're like angels. That's so crazy. So we are on chapter 18. Wow, the last chapter, text number 64. Quick recap. Last episode.
Oh, yeah. So from last episode, yes. So basically, Krishna is telling Arjuna to just trust in Krishna in his heart, to follow his instruction, that if he doesn't follow Krishna's instruction, basically his innate nature will take over and he will still act in the same way, but it will, like, doing it when you're in guidance of Krishna leads to glory, right? And all kinds of goodness. And the last text we read was really, really nice and a really actually important text from the whole Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna talks about the importance and the reality of the fact that we have independence, right? We are, what is that word?
Free will.
Yes, thank you. Free will. That's what I was looking for. My brain just went bloop. Prabhupada says on that text, he says, before surrendering, one is free to deliberate on this subject as far as the intelligent goes. And that is the best way to accept the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's basically saying, don't just do it because. Mm-hmm. Think about it, really process it, and make that your decision.
Yes.
And then follow Krishna.
I love this verse so much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's been these verses that we're going to get into are so famous in the Gita. And this one particularly that we just did, text 63, there's a really interesting question that sparks a conversation from it, that does surrender necessitate checking our brain or our intelligence at the door of the house of God? So, you know, some commentary says that the Gita offers a really nuanced understanding of devotion where God himself doesn't demand unthinking or unquestioning surrender for his great devotee Arjuna. But instead, as we've seen throughout the whole Gita, Krishna is developing all these reasonable arguments to address Arjuna's different questions to help him come to his own conclusion, whether he should surrender and harmonize with Krishna's will or not, you know?
So believing in God doesn't mean you have to turn your brain off. There are actually, like, Krishna's making a lot of rational arguments.
Exactly. And this call to use one's intelligence in deciding how to use our own independence is one of Krishna's final big declarations of the Bhagavad Gita. Mm. And I think that this notion that we have to leave our intelligence behind and that's what it really means to surrender, maybe many people think that when they have a cynical view of religion, right? They think,
I have a brain. And so therefore none of these arguments about God actually make sense because I'm thinking about it and I'm a man of science. I'm blah, 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 blah.
Exactly. They think it's either science or religion. So I have to, if I'm going to be logical and ask questions, that doesn't go hand in hand with religion. When really, if we have a little more open-mindedness and less cynicism, we'll be introduced to these ancient teachings that some of the greatest minds of the earth have thought of and realize that no, they have to go very much hand in hand. So there's a few summaries that you can extract from this text that I thought would be nice to just kind of ping pong. So first bullet point is, those who think that intelligence should be checked at the door when entering the house of God through devotion and surrender have only encountered sentimental devotion and have hardly encountered the philosophical devotion outlined in the Bhagavad Gita.
Okay. So they just see emotional people being like, God save me and God is so nice and God loves you. And exactly. Without any like actual context for that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're like, I love this. I love Krishna consciousness and of course I'm going to do it, but they're not really like processing all the facts.
Mm-hmm. Or is those people that like on the street that have billboards that says Jesus loves you. Yeah. And that's all sentiment, right? It's like, there's no, those people who are atheists see those people and be like, oh my God, like that's just sentiment.
Right. Mm. Or you see this a lot with young kids who have maybe, you know, are getting very interested in let's say, in science and in more philosophical studies. And they might ask their parents who maybe have, let's say this is stereotyping, but you see situations where maybe the parent has a more simplistic outlook to religion and they might tell their kids, oh, just have faith. And that actually is really off-putting to the kid who has so many questions. So then they have this misconception where, oh, in order to have faith, I have to shut off my intellect.
To not think.
Exactly. And that is what I think so many young kids why they have such an aversion to quote unquote religion. Mm. And they'd rather say, oh, I'm spiritual, I'm not religious.
That's literally what happened to me. Like, I was just told to have faith, but like, I didn't understand the context. And the moment I read the Gita when I was like, I don't know, like 19 or 20, it answered my questions from a rational point of view. And that's right. Why, that's what developed my faith further. So you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bullet point number two that we can be extracting from this text is God has not given us intelligence so that we can give it up, but so that we can use it in his service to understand whether our choices are taking us towards him and then also to comprehend his glories and make those glories understandable to others.
Okay.
What?
So
yeah, more time, come again.
Basically, our intelligence, it shouldn't be turned off, but it should be used to see are our actions and choices bringing us closer to him or taking us further away?
Okay. Are they aligned with our final purpose or is it just being misused?
Oh, yeah.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And final bullet point, and I think this is a good one to go hand in hand. While intelligence must be valued, it should not be overvalued to the point where it becomes more important than God, who is the supreme value. So not to think it's the end all be all, like, maybe my mind might also not be correct all the time.
Mm-hmm. Which is very true for my intelligence. A lot of people.
Yeah. Or also collecting knowledge is all that it matters. Like that right. statement isn't right. Right. Mm-hmm. Like if I just collect all the knowledge, but I don't do anything about it, like that's not to be valued above everything else.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So
I have one thing to say. Yeah, have you guys seen? So I think Krishna here is saying something, but to give you context, have you seen the show Grey's Anatomy?
Yes.
Oh, I've seen bits and pieces, not enough.
So the main character at one point tells this man, she says, love me. No, she says, love me, choose me, pick me. Right. Aww. So Krishna here is saying basically the same thing, right? Like pick me, choose me, love me. But think about it all. Like, think about it. You just think about all of the information I've given you, and then just make your choice, not because I'm telling you to, but because you feel it in your heart too.
Ooh, I love what that. What a great reference.
Thank you.
I personally love that Grey's Anatomy reference. And so pick me, choose me, love me. And Krishna's saying that, but I want you to do it based off of like what you want to. But like, think about everything that I said.
Yeah, you have free will here. Like no one's making you, even though I could make you. I'm never going to because I love you.
Even though I could make you.
Yeah, you know, like I will never do it. But just like think about everything I've said. Ask me any questions if you have any. If I haven't answered any that you know, whatever questions you might have. And then just know that I would love for you to choose me and what I'm sharing with you.
That's beautiful. So beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
And Prabhupada adds in the purport that Krishna's not even saying for us to surrender and love him for his own self-interest. He's saying it for our best interest because that's when we will feel most satisfied.
And that is what we're going to talk about in the next verse because it is for our benefit. Amazing. All right. Ladies, invocation, please.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation. I was born in the darkest ignorance and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them. Ladies, these invocations are getting sadder and sadder.
Okay.
It's because we're ending soon and we're all sad.
Maybe we can do it really happy the next one.
Let's try. No, but do whatever's in your heart. Okay? All right. Chapter 18, last chapter, text number 64, Priyadarshini.
Krishna says, because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit.
Yeah, it's not. Beautiful. It's not because Krishna loves hearing himself talk. Yeah. It's literally, there are parts of this book that can literally help 8 billion of us out there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so it's just a matter of taking advantage of this beautiful knowledge.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really an expression of Krishna's heart. Essentially, he's saying, I am determined to love you because I'm speaking these words for your benefit. Mm. And he's determined because lifetime after lifetime, he's saying, I will not go away. I'm always, always here in your heart. Lifetime after lifetime after lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know we've talked a lot about what this confidential knowledge is. Mm. And Prabhupada restates here that the main point of the Bhagavad Gita. In fact, the essence of the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita are summarized by the Sanskrit words manmana, which means just always think of me, meaning just always think of Krishna. And so you know, if you want to condense it all into one small thing that you can always remember is always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna.
And I love this part where Krishna says, hear this from me, for this is for your benefit. He's literally saying like, this is from my heart to your heart. Like, it's like this beautiful, like I'm saying this from my soul. Like I didn't have to spend the last 45 minutes lecturing you about this. You know what I mean? Like this is from my heart because I care about you and it's for your heart. And please just digest that.
Exactly. Yeah. It's interesting because he is acting in this role of Arjuna's teacher here. But unlike many, many jobs one might have in this material world, like there are teachers who truly care about their students, but some teachers are just paid to do their job and they're detached from their student. And that's the opposite of Krishna. He's not like a detached teacher. He's a teacher who really wants to have these loving reciprocations with Arjuna.
And he's saying this for the benefit of all of us. Like Krishna has immense amount of foresight, right? He knows that like Arjuna is not the only recipient of this information. There's going to be millions upon millions, if not billions of people that are also going to hear this and like, including us, including all of our listeners right now. Like Krishna is saying this for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So text 65, Shamasangita.
All right. Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your
homage
unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend.
Oh, so sweet.
Okay, so Abhijit, our producer, gave us a fun fact. So this exact verse, almost verbatim, is said in chapter 9, text number 34, which is so interesting because Krishna says this verse halfway through the Gita, and then he says it again at the end of the Gita. And this is the only verse that is verbatim repeated.
Yeah, I was like, wait, well, what's so important? Like, this whole thing is a summary, so he's been saying the same stuff. But no, like, the Sanskrit is basically the same.
Like, exact same.
Yeah. Do you have the verse that you could read?
Yes. So, this is chapter 9, text number 34. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. So it is like manmana. I can't do the Sanskrit, but literally, like there are exact Sanskrit phrases in both of them, and they're essentially saying the same thing. Like always think of Krishna, never forget him. Yeah. And I think that goes to show, like if that is the only verse that is repeated in the entire Gita, that is the most important one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's two things that I think first, it's interesting because Krishna's making a very public declaration that he's going to be there for us. I will be there for you. I'm going to help you. Like it's been explained publicly at this point. And then also, you know, in any relationship, everyone brings something to the table. So here Krishna in this text, he's saying the four things that we need to bring. He's saying like what the devotee needs to do on our part, and he'll take care of the rest. He'll be there for us. So these four things that he's asking from us: one, always think of me; two, become my devotee; three, worship me; and four, offer your homage unto me. What would you say is offer your homage? What again is homage? Like your
respects?
Is it homage or homage?
We've had this conversation before.
We probably had it in the one in chapter 9. It's special honor or respect shown publicly.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, interesting. Because then here, right, public respect. Krishna's making a public declaration on the battlefield out loud. I'm going to be there for you. He wants us to also publicly do something for him.
Yeah. Prabhupada goes on to say that how to sort of do this, right? And he says, life should be so molded that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours, he cannot but think of Krishna.
Let's play a little game, okay? So I'm going to go through the times of the day and tell us what activities we can do to always think of Krishna or worship Krishna or pay homage to Krishna, okay? All right, say the clock is turning 5 a.m. We'll say 5 a.m.
Like as we all wake up at 5 a.m. to do our sadhana.
This is idealistic, okay? This is what we should aspire to.
Okay. Because you know what we could also do is we could also do like different modes.
No, this is my game.
Okay. Get out.
Okay, fine.
Okay, stay idealistic, right? Okay. And remember, okay, you don't have to do all of them, but like, see in this entire game what you can be doing more of, right? It's 5 a.m. What's potential things that can happen?
You can be dreaming of Krishna.
Yeah, that's good. Or you can wake up, shower, and start chanting japa.
Yeah.
There you go. Very ideal. Auspicious time.
Very, very good time to do that. You can start. Oh, I mean, okay, let's say it's 7 o'clock now.
Well, wait, we're jumping very fast. I think from the moment you're about to get out of bed and step onto the ground, you can think many things. You can first think, thank you, Krishna, for giving me another day here to try to take more steps towards you, and say a little prayer, or even good morning, Krishna. Thank
good
you.
Good morning, Krishna. It's good.
And then you take your first step.
All right, let's do it without timings, but just morning time activities that can be done, right?
Okay.
You can make breakfast for Krishna.
Yeah.
And it depends what your lifestyle is. I have to bolt out the door to go teach, but I tried to put a podcast on. And what's a good podcast they can play?
Oh, I don't know. Something like Modern Yogi podcast.
I've heard of those three cool girls, Modern Yogis.
Yeah, I think. I mean, they help me bring me closer to Krishna somehow.
Yeah.
Right? You can put on a podcast. If you're going for a walk before you go to work or where you start your day, you can pick some flowers for Krishna.
That's really sweet.
You can listen to music in the morning.
Kirtan
in the morning.
Nice. Okay, what's the next?
Afternoon time. Sometimes you're working, but
lunchtime.
Like
lunch. Maybe you can just offer your lunch to Krishna.
I love that. Yes.
You can talk to some of your coworkers about spiritual topics.
That's good.
Potentially. Mm-hmm.
I've played little classes when I'm too burnt out to talk. I'll just eat in quiet in my room and play a class.
Yeah. Even very just nice. Saying a prayer before you eat your lunch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then evening time after work.
So many things you could do.
Yeah, go ahead. This is the time. It's called a brainstorm. Don't bring an umbrella to a brainstorm, Priya. Come on.
You can read.
Yes.
You can do kirtan. You can do japa again.
Mm-hmm. Go on a little japa walk, connect in nature. Ooh, you know, there's a song by Jhanavi Harrison, I Trust You. And it's like she's talking to Krishna about how she's been trying to trust his plan. I try to love everything you do in my life. And then there's one little line where she talks about how I see your hand. I feel you in the song of the air. And that makes you think when I go on little like japa walks in the past, how you hear the trees rustling in the winds. And it almost feels like you just look at Krishna's creation. I look at the sun. I look at the moon later, the trees. That's all Krishna. We talked about that chapter of everything you can look at in material creation, you can think of Krishna.
I love that.
Anything you like to do, anything, like you can paint things about Krishna, like whatever hobbies you might have, that can also be, you know.
You can do garlands for Krishna, for your deities.
Services at the temple.
You can go to 8 p.m. arati if you want. Yeah. You can read books with your friends.
And let's say you're an overworked parent who has no time to enjoy the rustling of the trees and painting. You're raising your kids for Krishna. These have been given to you and entrusted in your care, and I'm trying to raise them to be the best human beings they can.
Yeah. And do Krishna conscious arts and crafts.
They can read Krishna stories. I mean, there's so many ways to engage.
Our friend Mino is literally teaching her 3-year-old verses from the Gita.
Yeah.
And he's like reciting them in Sanskrit. And I'm like, oh my
impressed.
God. He's 3 years old.
It's impressive.
So wild.
Yeah.
But, and then right before you go to bed, you can talk to Krishna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can plan your day with Krishna.
You can say goodnight, Krishna.
You can say goodnight, Krishna.
If you're so tired, you can talk to Krishna about that in the shower. Sometimes I'm like, oh my God, Krishna.
Yeah.
What's up?
You can do that 100%. I think the point of all of this is literally this verse, right? Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage to me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this. Remember, he's promising because you are my very dear friend. It's like, all of these things, if we make our mind think of Krishna first and have conversations with Krishna, Krishna is literally promising us that we will come to him. Mm. And I think our job here in this material world is to make our every single day as Krishna conscious as possible.
Yeah. And it's so moving to think we'll get to come to see him face to face, almost like an old love, a friend who we've been in a dream and we haven't seen in ages, and we'll get to finally see again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a promise. It's a pinky promise.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Prabhupada says, these words stress that one should concentrate their mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and a peacock feather in his hair. Mm. I just thought it was really sweet because, yeah, you know, I don't know how many times Prabhupada describes Krishna, but that was a very loving, sweet description.
Yeah, that is really nice. All right.
Okay.
So anything else?
Text 66, Shamali.
Shamali.
Okay. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear.
Okay.
Ooh.
Interesting.
One more time.
Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear.
Oof.
Interesting.
All paths lead to Krishna anyways, right? Mm. But he's like, you don't need to follow all these things and do all these rituals. Literally just love me and I'll take care of the rest. Do not worry. Do not fear.
Right. Yeah. Prabhupada reiterates that in the purport. He says, it's been said before that only one who has become free from all sinful reactions can take the worship of Lord Krishna. Meaning, if you were already perfect, you can worship Krishna. And then one might think to ourselves, oh my God, I'm not free from all those reactions. And therefore, there's no way I can actually surrender to Krishna, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Prabhupada says, to such doubts, it is here said that even if one is not free from all sinful reactions, simply by the process of surrendering to Krishna, he is automatically freed.
Mm.
Right? So thinking that you have to be perfect before you get close to Krishna, to get that out of your mind.
Yeah.
That is not something you need to do. You can come imperfectly to Krishna and start that relationship, start that friendship, just say good morning to Krishna and work your way up until you feel a deeper and deeper connection.
Mm.
And he will help, you know, he will help you along the way. So
I love that.
You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be, you know.
Just the fact that you're trying is what Krishna will grab onto.
Mm, yeah.
And you know, it's interesting because up until now, Krishna has described so many different kinds of knowledge, processes of religion. We talked about the Supreme Brahman, the Super Soul, different types of order, social statuses in life, et cetera, et cetera. And after Krishna describes so many different things, now in this summary of the Gita, Krishna says, okay, give all of that up. All the processes have been explained. Don't worry, just surrender to me. And that surrender will save you from everything.
Mm.
So it's almost like Krishna laid it all out just to say, now anyway, forget about all that. Don't worry. Just surrender to me.
Yeah, actually, Prabhupada says those same in a few more words, which I thought was really sweet. He says, the words here are used particularly that say, don't fear, don't hesitate, don't worry, are very significant. One may be perplexed as to how one can give up all kinds of religious forms and simply surrender to Krishna, but such worry is useless.
Mm.
So don't even worry about it. Just think of Krishna, surrender to Krishna, and he will take care of the rest.
Yeah. And I think in every single purport, well, a lot of them, Prabhupada is really emphasizing the highlight of the Gita, and that is devotional service to Krishna in full consciousness is the most confidential part of knowledge, and that is the essence of the whole Bhagavad Gita. So he keeps emphasizing, like, this is the essence. This is the essence. It's through repetition he's trying to really make it important.
Yeah.
I think the essence is?
Think of Krishna. I'll never forget him.
Nice. Yeah. And remember, it's like every morning you can pick fear or faith. And Krishna is literally saying in this verse, do not fear. You know, drop everything else. Come on, like, come to me. I've got you completely. Don't worry. I got you.
And Priya in the previous purport had read Prabhupada's very sweet description of Krishna. And Prabhupada emphasizes again in this purport that we should be attracted by this beautiful vision of Krishna because his name, Krishna, means all attractive. Have we read that before?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they've said that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if we become attracted by this beautiful, all-powerful, omnipotent vision of Krishna, then we are truly fortunate.
Mm. Mm. All right.
You know, one quick thing, this text also, I think it's interesting because Krishna's basically saying he doesn't want us to become a dharmic and not do our duty, but to take up the supreme duty. Because we might think like abandon everything. Oh, okay, cool. Don't have to do anything. But no, Arjuna was a Kshatriya and also a bhakti yogi. We need to be able to do both. But I think the point of this text is also first, we're devotees, and then we have our duties in this world, whether it's a doctor, a teacher, whatever. So like Arjuna was first a devotee, our first dharma, our param dharma, or the supreme dharma is to connect to Krishna, and then everything else comes secondary.
Mm. That's really lovely thought process. To know your identity, which one's first and what's next, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes we get caught up and we're like, no, the first thing is I got to work. I got to do this. I am that which provides me the means or whatever it might be.
And in a personal level, haven't we all felt that way before? Like, no, I first have to deal with this order of business. Mm-hmm. Then I can chant. Then I'll think of Krishna. Anyway, that comes later.
Right.
But no, if we really sometimes do first our duty as a devotee, everything just falls into place naturally.
I think I'm like just like an example from my own life. It's like I've been stuck writing this comedy show for a couple months now, right? And I'm stuck because it's literally like a fear of failure, right? And I think I just need to absorb. I think I just had a brain moment where I was just like, Krishna just wants me to do my duty, like not worry about the results of it, but just do it because I need to do it. Abandon all attachment to success or failure. And I feel like I just realized this now where Krishna says, do not fear. Like, just do what you got to do. And I think like that's the kick in the butt that I needed to hear right now.
That's
you know?
An interesting example, because up until now we're talking about duty in very like black and white terms. My duty as a doctor, as a teacher, as a warrior. Mm. But for in that example, you want to make an impact as a comedian. So in that sense, your duty is to write the script, whether it is going to be received or not. That's out of your hands.
I just have to write. Yeah.
You just have to write.
You cannot control the outcome.
Do not fear, Krishna says.
Do not fear, Krishna's here.
I love it. Oh, I got goosebumps. Wow. Aww. That was really nice. All right.
Text 67.
Priyadarshini.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me.
Ooh, one more time.
This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me.
So Krishna's literally saying, like, don't share this teaching with people who aren't open, who lack discipline or devotion or respect. It is sacred, but not everyone is ready for it.
Hey, and you know, you just said the last part, not everyone is ready for it right now. I think that's important to remember because it's very much a circumstantial thing. It's not because the Gita was spoken in a public way on the battlefield. It's a public out there conversation. It's not just he whispered it secretly into Arjuna's ear. No, it's a public eternal conversation meant for everybody when they are ready. I think that's the important part.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, I think in a battlefield, let's pretend that Krishna's voice was so perfectly clear that everyone could hear it, okay? But I think in a battlefield, depending on where your mind is at, you might be like, oh my God, this is about to be bad. And you're not even actually listening to the conversation. Whereas somebody else is like, you know what? This is what it will be. I'm ready. And they're listening because they have the capacity to do so, right? And so even in that battlefield, those who were meant to hear it, meant to receive it in that moment, did.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's like Krishna's like share it only with the hearts that are ready to receive it. And those people who were ready to receive it probably did hear it.
I love that point. Yeah. And it's also almost like Krishna's call for all of us to grow up in a way and become ready to hear it. It's like a parent who, let's say, they have a big business and they don't want to share everything yet to their children. They want their children to grow up and become ready to take the reins, and then they'll explain everything, you know?
Yeah, because I think the reality of this material world and this knowledge that we're receiving is that it does take austerity. Mm-hmm. It takes sacrifice. It takes consistency. Like being devoted to something means that you're going to work against your own, you know, flaws or comforts or whatever that might get in the way, and you're going to continue moving forward, right? So, I mean, obviously none of us are perfect. We're in this material world and we're really grateful to be receiving this knowledge. It doesn't mean like you have to exclude people, but it just gives you the awareness that not everyone will be ready for it. So sometimes you can feel like, oh, let me share, and someone might not reciprocate, and just know that it's just not their moment at the time, right? Yeah. They have some more growth, whatever, to develop, or more maybe even seeking of answers in a particular way, openness, whatever it might be.
I think it just takes being a little perceptive to where the person is at. Like, I'm not going to share the chapter when Krishna busted out his universal form to someone who's new. And it actually reminded me of a funny story. Ages ago, my sister had brought a high school friend over, and I had another friend over who maybe wasn't so perceptive to where this high school non-devotee friend of my sister was at. So he started talking about Krishna's pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan with the gopis. And he said some interesting pastimes, which like him frolicking with the gopis and more details, a lot more details. And I just remember feeling internally so uncomfortable. I was looking at my sister's high school friend at the time who knows nothing about Krishna. And I'm just looking at his face. And then my friend was like, because everything's a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. And he started talking about intimate spiritual activities of Krishna and his most intimate gopis. And I was just like, oh my God.
Oh no.
This is so off-putting to someone who knows nothing about Krishna.
Yeah, yeah, and they're not ready to receive it. It's like time, place, and circumstance, everybody.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Another thing that's really interesting about this Prabhupada's commentary on this is that he's saying that there are so many different sort of explanations of the Bhagavad Gita,
mm-hmm.
right? So many people that study it and then they're like, oh, you know what? Let me put it into my own words. And he says, but anyone who desires to actually understand Krishna must avoid such commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
It's very, especially for anyone who is trying to make money, make a business out of selling the Bhagavad Gita and explaining it in a different way than what it is.
Mm.
That is a concerning. Like yeah. You should be careful where you learn it from, which book you pick. That's why we prefer Acidus.
Yeah, because right. at the end of the day, like any commentaries that are not about always remember Krishna, never forget him, like that is the essence. If anything is misconstrued in that essence, then it's like someone else's, like they're trying to
absorb. Their bias?
Yeah, their own biases, whether it is like monetary or whatever, is input now, right?
Yeah.
Right, because it's maybe an author who wants to flaunt his own intellectual capacities.
Right.
And there's some commentaries who take Krishna out of the picture completely. And it's like, no, Krishna is the speaker, the goal, the everything.
Yeah, everything. You can't take Krishna out of the Gita. Yeah. That is crazy talk.
Yeah. And it's also like a really good moment to remember that we all have our own biases. And this is why it's so important then to remember at the very end of this whole thing that this is a book club. Right. Yeah. We are not speaking from a place of we know best. We're speaking from a place of.
Have you heard anything I said? We do not. I did know best.
Yeah. We're speaking from a place of curiosity and sharing and understanding and trying to figure it out for ourselves. Right. Mm-hmm. This is encouraged. And it's just to be very careful to keep the message as it is. Right. Not to distort it based on your own whims. Like it would be easy for me to say like, well, yeah, Krishna says follow the regulative principles, but like, it's okay if you don't, as long as you believe in Krishna. That would be me completely, you know, making something up to fit my narrative and what I might need. And that's something to be careful about because honestly, you can take anything and distort it to your benefit. And that's not the point here.
Yeah, people have been doing it for centuries with lots of philosophies. Yeah.
So, and you know, there's one interesting part of the purport where Prabhupada says, and the last line I want to talk about, because he's like, you know, the whole purpose of the Gita might not even be understandable for those who are sensuous. So like if they engage
sensuous.
In all their senses.
Yeah, sensuous.
You made it sound so unsensual. It's so sensuous. like Daffy Duck or something. It's so sensuous.
That's funny. And even if one is not
sensuous?
Yes.
Oh, can we say it correct?
I'm sorry.
Try it, Priya.
Sensuous.
Nice. Oh, wow. She said it really well.
The one time when you say it correct.
Wow.
Speaks English well.
That came out. And I just said it. I'm so sorry. So even if one is not sensuous, but is strictly following the disciplines enjoined. Oh my God. Sorry. I'm just
It's in there. You saw the word enjoined.
Yes. Enjoined in the scripture. So even if one is disciplined, if he's not a devotee, he also can't understand Krishna. And then this last line, and even when one poses himself as a devotee of Krishna, but is not engaged in Krishna conscious activities, he also cannot understand Krishna.
Right.
And I think you might have the best intention, but I know I felt it before and probably others have, that if there are times of your life that you're overwhelmed and you're not doing something to connect to Krishna, you feel more covered over. The modes cover you over. And I might feel like, I'll see something and it doesn't reach my heart. Like in moments where I'm on it, practicing, chanting, connecting, I'll read it and it's like it hits differently. So we have to be careful, because with our spiritual practice, I understand there are times where sometimes you're burnt out and let's say whatever, you're a newly born,
practicing.
I was going to say newly born parent.
You got this.
I got this. Trying to follow
what you're saying.
So there are times when, sure, maybe you can't practice because let's say you're doing a doctorate or you just delivered a child. There are extreme situations in life that make sense, but we have to be careful with when we're overcome by the modes, like when we become lethargic and just don't. It's something that creeps in slowly and it just adds, we become kind of tinged little by little by the modes of material nature that make it so that then we maybe don't even really want to do it. And that might not really be what deep down we want in our hearts, but we become slowly covered over by the material energy.
Yeah. It's like we said before, it's okay to take a little space, but always keep engaged. And I think that's what this verse was saying too. Like, yeah. Keep engaged. Like, you, as long as you're engaged in devotional service, you are, have more of an ability to receive this knowledge and grow in this knowledge, yeah. And like get closer to Krishna.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Well said.
Okay. Better right. said than what I just said.
No, you set it up. You set it up. It was lovely.
You were so sensuous.
Okay. Text 68. Shama Sangeeta.
Yes. Krishna says, for one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end, he will come back to me.
Mm. Okay. Ooh. Thanks, Krishna.
I love this. I love it. So I think it's important to like constantly learn, right? Because if you are learning more about the Gita and like the main aspects of the Gita, and then you explain it to people who are seeking this or who have like devotees, which is so interesting, mm-hmm. is like people who already are ready, like in their hearts, they're ready to receive this, like pure devotional service is guaranteed and you will come back to Krishna. Like,
yeah. Beautiful.
I think that's like such a beautiful thing. And I think that's really important for us to constantly be learning and upgrading our knowledge. And so that when people have questions, we can answer those questions.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, yeah, it's important to remember, like if you're out there listening to the podcast and let's say you're very new to bhakti and you might think, oh gosh, am I a devotee? I would say if you're listening up until now, you are a devotee. There are people who have the heart of the devotee so naturally.
Totally.
And you know, when you share the Gita, we benefit so much ourselves because when we share the knowledge, we learn ourselves. Mm-hmm. We think of, don't they say like the best way to learn something is to have to teach it, right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
So mm-hmm. Prabhupada here says, anyone, however, who tries to sincerely present the Bhagavad Gita as it is, will advance in devotional activities and reach the pure devotional state of life. And as a result, he'll go back home, back to Godhead.
I love that.
So it's for us too. Like we've always said, this podcast helps us immensely.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Teach this knowledge with love to the people that are ready to receive it. That's beautiful.
Totally. Text 69, Shamali.
There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear.
Oh, wow. He's saying if you are a person who shares knowledge about Krishna to the other, you know, to other devotees, then you are the most dear to him.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Krishna.
That's just really a one line drop. Like there's no purport, nothing else.
It's like, tell your friends about Krishna, explain this philosophy to other people. And Krishna's watching, right? And I'm sure he's looking down and he's smiling with his whole heart.
Yeah. What did that make you feel, Priya? You said, oh.
I mean, it's just, I mean, I'm not saying that we are, you know, like Krishna's favorites, but like, but like he kind of said that like if we share this with others, then we're his favorites. So like, oh my God.
I think it's also like, this is really sweet because we were also put in this position to, you know, do this podcast and whatnot. And yes, we're not perfect. We are definitely not authorities on this book or anything. We are literally just sharing our experiences and trying to encourage people to understand the whole basic tenet is like, remember Krishna, never forget him, because that has been so pivotal to learn in our life. And it has, and I think from the moment we started this podcast to now, I think we've changed in so many ways and grew because of this knowledge.
Oh yeah.
And I think like anybody who generally wants that growth and that love for God in their hearts to share that knowledge, I think that's the most beautiful thing. So just tell your friends about this podcast. You want to learn more on your own, fantastic. But whatever you do, share this knowledge as much as possible. Share Krishna's gems of wisdom with everybody that you know, because it will always benefit them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, even if you feel like you are surrounded by people who aren't ready for this, we've said before, like if someone is in the mode of ignorance, bring them to passion. If someone is in passion, then bring them to goodness. So you have to be perceptive. Where is someone at? If they're a couch potato, get them outside to look at nature and just move a little. Then when they're doing that, then you can talk about, oh, look at nature, look at the creation. You can somehow bridge it in any way back to God.
You want to chant Om out in nature? Let's do it. Okay. Mode of goodness. Check. Little ways.
Do you guys have any creative ways you've connected something to someone who, Shama, with Nina, how has been a creative way that you've whatever.
Yeah, because my partner is not a devotee at all. She makes fun of Krishna a lot.
That's her love language.
But that's her love language. If you know her, she makes fun of everything. But I think like subtle ways to increase Krishna consciousness is like literally just offering food. Like, you know, mm-hmm. offering your food and then giving that prasad to someone who may not know about Krishna or, you know, doesn't believe. But I literally feel like prasadam is such a, it's like a superpower, actually.
It's a gateway.
Yeah. It really changes hearts and changes minds. Yeah. I definitely have felt that. Like literally chanting that. Together. Like last night was the solar eclipse and we were chanting Om together and I was doing a proper Om and then she was going wow, 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 like just being annoying like, as that was happening. But like she was hearing Om, right? So like literally like chanting mantras, putting on kirtan, offering prasad and taking them to holy places they might not understand what's going on. I don't know if I ever told you that story of like I took Nina to Govardhan Hill and everyone put like everyone she just held on to everyone's stuff while everyone started rolling on the sand of Govardhan Hill and she's like what is going on. and then we took her to this like this temple with Shaligram Shila. It was like Govardhan. What is this? Shaligram Shila.
Yeah. Govardhan.
It's like Govardhan, right?
Giriraj,
right? Yes, and so she's like, why is everybody worshiping this rock with googly eyes on it? And
but
so
she
like,
got the benefit.
But she got the benefit of it, right? Yeah. So I think exposing people and like explaining things. And now like I literally have been telling her so much about Krishna and now she uses it back at me. like against me. Yeah, like I'll tell her things about the Gita and then if I have a bad day, then I'm not acting in the mode of goodness. She'd be like, that's a pretty mode of ignorance thing to say. Do you want to try that again? And so like literally telling people because people absorb, you know?
Oh yeah.
And so
oh,
I think it's like just keep giving Krishna to everybody that you see if you feel like their heart is ready for it.
That's such a good point. People absorb more than you think. They don't need to repeat it back to you. You don't have to quiz them on it. Just be imbibing it and then saying whatever you want to say in that moment. It's like my younger sister, you know, she was born in a family of devotees. She's on her path. She's definitely spiritual, but she, I don't know. I think she got really like institutionalized religion. She doesn't like seeing how it provokes a lot of wars or conflicts or she sees an aspect of it that she doesn't like. So she has her thing. She's on her timing. But every once in a while, she'll, you know, we've realized over time, you can't push someone to it because the more you push, the more they'll reject it, you know? But then she'll surprise us with things she says. Like the other day, many things she'll say. Like the other day, I didn't realize that what my mom had just cooked was offering. So I kind of stroll into the kitchen and I take a bite and my sister's like, Krishna's eating that, you know? Like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Or like I was walking by and I was chanting and she had something playing on the TV and I kind of just sat for a second without even thinking. And she's like, are you supposed to be watching TV while chanting, Shamali? And I was like, you're right. I'm sorry.
Good point. And I'm
checks me all the time. Or she'll say these things that I don't want to like be like, oh my God, Rinda, you know so much. Because then she would hate it even more. Yeah, but I'll be like, wow.
Oh my God. Rinda and Nina should have a talk. Because that's literally, so funny. Nina has been like, you're chanting and you're on TikTok. Like, should you be doing that?
Yeah. That's weird.
But I think the point of this is try to tell as many people as possible about Krishna. If you want to do it via podcast, like send our link to more people, 3 people at least. That would make us so happy. Uh-huh. But whatever you do, try to tell people if their hearts are ready for it. Please tell them about Krishna. Tell them about what you're learning. Tell them about like everything that has touched your heart. Tell it to them because it might touch their heart as well.
Yeah. And I love what Krishna is about to say next because it's fun. And another one. I don't know what. I just want to read it. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm
looking forward to it.
Okay.
I think it's my turn.
Oh,
text
sorry.
70, Priyadarshini.
That's okay. Text 70. And I declare that he who studies the sacred conversation of ours worships me by his intelligence. So he's giving all the ways, right? He's saying like, if you share it, that's amazing. Those people are very dear to me. And if you study it, you're using your intelligence in a great way, right?
Mm. And that's interesting because up until now, we've talked about so many different forms of worship, right? You can offer him a leaf, a flower, your food, but you're offering him your intelligence by studying this conversation.
Yeah.
That's such a cool way to think of it, right? I'm offering my intelligence to God. Mm, wow. Yeah.
I know. And then I love the next one too.
Okay.
And if you're ready for it.
Side note, so meta, right? Because imagine if you're Arjuna and you're in a private conversation with Krishna and then he says, like kind of like he's talking about what's going to happen in the future of people studying this conversation. Like what, you know, think from Arjuna's perspective, Arjuna might be like, what? Yeah. I thought it's just you and me talking here.
No, I love this. I love this because like Krishna's like literally saying, just by reading and reflecting on these words, you're connecting with me in the most powerful and loving way.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Exactly. Lovely said.
All right. Okay. Text number 71.
Shama Sangeeta.
All right. Krishna says, and one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from sinful reactions and attains to the auspicious planets where the pious dwell.
Yeah. So even if you're just listening.
Right. So the collection of previous text was saying, first, share it. If you can't share it, study it. If you can't study it, at least listen.
Actually, it's not at least. It's like any of these, you're very dear to me.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like a degradation where like just listening is the lower one. It's like listening, studying it, sharing it. These are all things that make you beloved to me.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. It's not like it's you're less dear to him. It's just like if you, it's kind of the similar. If you can't do this, do this. If you can't do this, do this.
But it's not if you can't. Like you could do all of them.
But like, even if you do one of them, it's still good.
Yeah. It's like Krishna's extending the mercy, the different, like, you know. Yeah.
I just think that he uses and instead of instead. You know, like instead of if not, but if you can't, it's not a but, it's an and. So like, those who share,
he's playing
amazing.
Improv. He's like, yes, and. Yes, and. Yeah.
And if you study it, amazing. And if you listen, amazing. Like, he's loving all of these things.
Amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Sweet. Anyone who hears this teaching with faith, without envy, with an open heart, will be liberated and rise to a higher, more beautiful life.
Yeah, so sweet.
And listening, we've said this before, if you have a busy life and life is crazy for most people, there's so many platforms where you can listen. YouTube has so many lectures. You don't have to have the time to go to India to be a great devotee. You can, and many times when you're in India, you're probably overcome by a lot of, you know, Vrindavan is not an easy place to be if you're not ready. So sometimes sitting from the comforts of your home, turning on, what is it, Mayapur TV, and you can look at Vrindavan from the comfort of your couch, your senses might be more at ease than if you're super jam-packed in the temple. I mean, it's more beautiful to be there, of course, but there's so many resources to
connect,
listen.
So many ways. Yeah. So many ways to engage our ears in Krishna.
Yeah.
All right. And text 72, Shamali.
O son of Pritha, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? Are your ignorance and illusion now dispelled? Maybe should I try one more time?
Yeah, that's good.
O son of Pritha, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? And are your ignorance and illusion now dispelled? Oh, this is fascinating because up until now, Arjuna has been the one asking Krishna all the questions. And now there's a pivot and Krishna is asking Arjuna like, hey, has this made sense till now?
Literally, Krishna is checking in. He's like, hey, I've been talking for a while. Are you still paying attention? Like, are you, like, he's literally checking in.
Yeah.
Right. And what's interesting is, like, he says, Arjuna, like, have you heard this with an attentive mind? And literally, that is one of the most rarest things that you can have.
The hardest thing to do.
The hardest thing, right? Yeah. An attentive mind. In a world where our attention is constantly dragged from one thing to another so fast, and you go on any app, and it's just like craving our attention and switching our attention. Krishna's saying, have you heard this with an attentive mind? All of these important things that I have to say.
Yeah. And he's like, did it make sense? Did it help you? Did it clear some stuff for you? Like, tell me.
Yeah.
And I think that's an amazing place to end for us because then we're going to get to hear Arjuna respond.
I love that. And the sweetest thing that Prabhupada says in the purport is that Krishna was totally ready to re-explain any point or the entire Bhagavad Gita if so required.
He's like, you got another 45 minutes? I'm going to explain this to you.
Or for us, you got another 3 years? We got you.
That's my God. So good. All right. So please join us next time where we're on chapter 18, text number 73.
See you next time.
Bye. Beautiful souls, if you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.